Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Sukkah Daf Tesvav, Sukkah 15, and we're going to start on the bottom of Tesvav Amad Aleph at the Mishnah on the bottom of 15a. So our Mishnah is talking about a Sukkah that was covered with a roof with disqualified Tzlach, with Tzlach that was disqualified, and was also mixed in with Tzlach that was kosher. So our Mishnah says Hamakara. The word Hamakara means like somebody who makes as a roof. But it means as a roof, it's disqualified tzlach. Because if the Mishnah would want to say it's kosher tzlach, it would use the word misachich. So here, hamikara sukaso bashpudin. So bishapudin. So person covers their roof of their sukkah with shpudin, which are poles or skewers that are disqualified for tzlach because they're able to contract tumah, like we learned earlier on 11a. Now you're now at a use as tzlach something that's able to contract tumah, and so these skewers are able to contract tumah because they have the law of being a utensil, and so therefore we're talking about skewers of wood skewers, and because obviously it was metal that you're not allowed to use because it doesn't grow from the ground, and so here we're talking about skewers, Rashi says, because it is something that is mekabel tumah. So, but the Magen Avraham asks about that. Why are these skewers something that are able to become tamei? They don't have a receptacle. They're not a utensil, even rabbinically. And so therefore, why are the shpudim able to contract tumah? So the Karben Nisano answers, we're talking about these skewers that on the top of them, there's like a sharp point. And so therefore, they're considered like a utensil. The Rambam says that the reason why the shpudim are disqualified is because we're talking about metal utensils that don't grow from the ground. So let's say you use these shpudin on the roof of your sukkah, or you use, as our Mishnah about Ruchos Amita, you use the boards, the beams of wood that are on the side of the length of the bed, that they're also something that is mekabel tumah, they can contract tumah, and they're also disqualified to use as tzlach. So let's say you use one of these things on the roof of your sukkah, but you put them on the sukkah in such a manner on the roof that there is space between them. So it says our Mishnah, Im yesh revach b'nei and kamosan, if there is space on them, that is the equivalent of the skewers, meaning to say the space between each of the skewers is equivalent to the space that the skewers take up on the roof, and it's basically equivalent amount of kosher tzlach and non-kosher tzlach. Then we're going to say kishera, then we're going to say it's kosher. So from the Mishnah seems to be saying that a sukkah is kosher even though the kosher tzlach is not greater than the disqualified tzlach, and the Gemara is going to challenge that idea. But before we do that, we do the next line in the Mishnah, which is something we've seen already in our Gemara. But here is the Mishnah: Chotet Begadish, that Begadish, it's somebody who digs out a bundle of hay, and he digs out that the hay is not something that is mekabel tumah because it's not edible, and so therefore it's kosher v'schach because it grows from the ground. And so we're talking about bundles of crops, but they were in a big bundle, and you dig it out in order lasoso sukkah, to make a space in its cavity. And so let's say you make the minimum size of the sukkah, which is, let's say, 7 tfachim by 7 tfachim and a height of 10 tfachim. Still, ain't a sukkah. That's not going to be a kosher sukkah. What's the reason why? Because it states in Deuteronomy 16, verse 13, Chaga sukkos ta'aselecha, that you shall make a sukkah for yourself. And we learned earlier in Dafir Aleph, that means ta'asev lomen asoy. You need to make it. It cannot be made automatically on its own. Meaning to say, you have to do an action on the tzlach itself, and not that the tzlach came into existence on its own. It's not enough to make the walls, you have to make the tzlach. And since the crops in the stack did not have the name tzlach upon them, because there was nothing underneath it before, it's just that you hollowed out the hay from underneath, and so you made the tzlach, like the tzlach, come into existence on its own without actually doing an action on the tzlach. So therefore, it's not going to be considered like you did anything in the body of the tzlach, and so therefore it's not going to be a sukkah. So that's what our Mishnah says. So our Gemara says, Lema tehave tiyufta de Rav Huna b'Rei de Rav Yeshua. Isn't this a refutation of the position of Huna b'Rei de Rav Yeshua, who says elsewhere in Meseches Erevin that if you have an Erev, which is like an enclosure around the space to allow you to carry in that enclosure, and a mechitza partition, but the parot is ka'omed, that we learned to Meseches Erevin that if the breach, if there's a breach that's the equivalent in the breach in the partition, that's the equivalent to the equivalent of of the part of the partition that's standing, Rav Papa Amar Mutar, Rav Papa says that you're allowed to carry it because they're equivalent, and the breach and the partition are equivalent, and that's like the kosher slach and the non-kosher slach. Whereas Rav Huna Breid, Rav Yeshua says that it is aser. Rav Yehuda, the son of Rav Yeshua, says it's going to be prohibited if they're the same. So the fact that our case here, the Mishnah says, it is permitted as long as this kosher slach is equivalent to the breach, maybe it's going to be a dispute. It's going to be a refutation of Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua. Gemara actually rejects it, and Gemara gives two reasons why. The Gemara cites the position of Rabbi Ami, the position of Rava, why it's not going to be a refutation of Rav Huna Breid, Rav Yeshua's position. It's actually a little bigger here, the kosher slach, that you can be big enough that you could squeeze it in. Well, you see, once again, this theme that the Gemara keeps talking about is that the sukkah means ta'asev lo min ha'asoy. It needs to be something you make and not that it's made on its own. Commentaries say that the Dvash HaSadis points out that you have to do something yourself and not see something done by others, that you have to be spurred to action. That's one of the Musar Haskels that we take from this teaching.